becoming a team right now.
Now, live from the Nashville Sports Radio studios in Metro Center, it's a special Olympic hockey edition of Predneck Nation. With your host, Crazy Charlie Saunier, and featuring in-studio commentary from Jonathan Schaefer, along with special guest, the voice of the Nashville Predators, Pete Weber, with a look at Team USA in Sochi and related hockey points of interest from around the Predneck Nation. Now, here are Charlie, Jonathan, and Pete.
And welcome in, Predneck Nation Olympic Hockey Special Edition. Your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saunier, here with Jonathan Schaefer. Pete Weber going to join us via phone here in just a moment's time. We're going to take you around the world of the Sochi Olympic Hockey Tournament. Some outstanding action so far in the prelims. United States went 3-0, took the next second seed overall. And they're going to play tomorrow. We're going to break it all down. We'll talk about today's elimination round. We're going to talk about tomorrow's quarterfinals. We're going to project out to the semifinals and finals. We're even going to break down the women's gold medal matchup between the United States and Canada. We've known for 4 years that this was going to be the matchup, and after outshooting Sweden 70-9 and beating them 5-1, Team USA women get themselves back to the gold medal game. We'll face off against Canada. That game coming up on Thursday. Schaefer, we'll talk about that here in a little bit with Pete as well, because that's a gold medal game, and we're here to talk Olympic hockey. So welcome in. So happy to be here with you. Schaefer, how's everything going so far? Been enjoying the Olympics to this point.
The U.S.-Russia preliminary round game was the equivalent of a gold medal contest.
Schaefer, it is being called the most important meaningless game in the history of hockey.
A very meaningful meaningless game.
Correct.
Because it was meaningless, but
Absolutely, it's been that way, and so far we've seen Team USA deliver the goods with a victory over Slovakia in the first game of the preliminary round, which was a dominating performance, 7-1. Then we also saw the second game of the prelims, which was the very exciting game you just mentioned, the 3-2 victory in the shootout for Team USA over Team Russia on home ice with President Vladimir Putin in the house.
And did he have his shirt on?
He had his shirt on, and that's why the team lost.
I think Putin in Russian means man nipple.
His comment afterwards, sport is sport. He didn't comment anything on if the team's families were in jeopardy or if Alex Radulov would in fact be shot on a missile into the sun.
I think the word enigmatic is Alexander Radulov's middle name. It's incredible with that guy.
Well, Schaefer, we've already started this, so let's bring up a guy who knows exactly what to call Alexander Radulov, the voice of the Nashville Predators, and a guy that we are so incredibly happy and lucky to have back with us here on the air at 560 tonight. In case you don't know, Pete had a little bit of a health scare just a couple of weeks ago, was unable to do a couple of games, and for Pete Weber not to do a Predators game, you know it was a serious situation. So, Pete, this is our first chance to talk to you live on the air, and Pete, Schaefer, and I have a little something for you as we bring you up. Pete, we're so happy to have you back. We wanted to give you an official slow clap because, let's face it, very few situations in life deserve or earn a slow clap, but you making your very quick return to the airwaves deserves it. So, Pete, how are you doing? Give us a quick update, first of all. We've been trying to keep up with you and keep the audience updated as we've been going along, but we'd sure love to hear it straight from you.
Well, I'm doing very well, guys, and the doctor told me last Thursday evening, just get ready, get back on the air on February 27th with the Tampa Bay Lightning in town to resume play for the Preds. So I'm very happy to have heard that. And I'm similarly very happy to feel as well as I do right now.
Pete, when it came to actually, I believe it was the Russia-USA game, and it was Eddie Olczyk on the air on international television wishing you best wishes along with David Poile. How did that make you feel in that moment?
Made me feel great. The other thing I was hoping for, I'm being a little selfish here, I was hoping he'd give me a tip on a pick six like the one where he won $500,000. The guy is an absolute guru at the racetrack. Follow him around. Invest with Eddie Olczyk. and you'll be in great shape.
Well, I would like, if I can be so bold, I do want to say I'm making myself the representative of the Nashville sports community right now, that the fact that you are in good health and good spirits and will be back to work very soon, we're all extremely happy to hear that, because you've touched the careers of two of the people that are in this room and many others, and as I've said on the air before, you are the voice of Nashville sports, and that's no disrespect to Mike Keith whatsoever. So before we move forward, I did want to express that to you publicly.
Well, thank you so much. It's very, very, very kind.
And Pete, enough with this ass-kissing here. You're feeling better. As a matter of fact, you know what I'm going to send you? I'm going to send you Forgetting Better. I'm going to give you the Operation Home Game so that you can get practice and stay home and start working at yourself. You don't have to trouble any more of the medical professionals out there, because I know you didn't want to go see the doctors. And by the time you got out of there, it was probably a lot like some of the scenes in the movie MASH during the football game. Yeah, I imagine you being there at the hospital causing all kinds of havoc, causing all kinds of commotion, watching hockey games at way too high a volume, way too late at night. So I'm sure those nurses are plenty happy to have gotten you out of there.
I think they were very happy to get me out of there, but they're also very good. I got to tell you, from the time I hit the operating table that Thursday morning, the doctor did not have me knocked out. So I was able to talk during the whole procedure. There were quite a few conversations going on.
If you have your own play-by-play of your own heart procedure, that needs to be shared with the rest of the world. I currently feel deprived now knowing that information.
Well, it's kind of like a little bit, I feel good.
I wish all our mics were cut so we could isolate that as a drop for the rest of eternity while we're talking to you, Pete. So we're here to talk Olympic hockey, obviously. You've had a chance to take some time off, and you've been resting at home, so I'm sure you've been watching quite a bit of these games. We got to the actual meat of the tournament starting today, and we had quite a few games today. I'll just go over the finals real quick for those of you who aren't caught up, and it's a spoiler alert, but not really. Slovenia beat Austria 4-0. That is kind of a shocker with Slovenia being in its first Olympics. Mission impossible, Pete, for Slovenia moving forward. So we'll get to their matchup here in just a second. Russia defeated Norway 4-0. Looked like that game was going to be 2-0 or maybe 1-0 until Russia got a little greedy at the end with the empty net. Rattle off two goals and an assist in that, and I'm sure you'll have some comments on his play. Here's the shocker of the tournament to this point. Latvia defeating Switzerland 3-1 today. Yeah. Latvia was the 11th seed. Did not win a game in the preliminary. They did look good at times in the preliminaries. I didn't think they were going to be able to pull this out in an elimination game. But the number 11 seed with no wins in the prelims defeats Switzerland. Roman Josi on his way back to Nashville to start practicing with the team. And the final elimination game from today, and this one affects Team USA, Czech Republic defeated Slovakia in the cross-border neighborhood battle 5-3. Wow, Slovakia 0-4 in the tournament.
The Czech Republic, or as I like to say, their country's initials right now are AARP.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. 0-4, the first Big Seven team to lose every single game in the Olympics. Mm. So Slovakia was expected to compete at least a little bit, and obviously a total disappointment. Pete, your comments on today's games, and then we'll start looking ahead to what we're going to see tomorrow. Or actually, starting here in just a couple hours.
That's right. I was shocked the Czech Republic came up with that win, because I think they are perhaps the most poorly constructed of the teams that went in there. I think that's fair to say. We've already read all the reports about how the coach has his son-in-law on the team, but they don't have Yuri Hudler on that team, for example. Marty Hirak makes the club by scoring no goals in the NHL regular season. all props to Marty. I mean, love the guy.
Right.
But what's going on there? And then the other part from today, Ted Nolan's Latvian club, the fact that Switzerland gave up three goals is what is shocking to me. They're a club that has played things so very well and so very close to the best. I have not seen much evidence of Latvia having that much offensive firepower. So that's a surprise, to be certain. The other games, yes, today we saw, for those of you fortunate enough to have the time off to watch, we saw the good Alex Radulov. Saturday, we saw the bad Alex Radulov, and sometimes the ugly Alex Radulov.
Yeah.
he is perhaps hockey's biggest enigma. Somebody suggested to me on Twitter today that maybe the Predators could get something out of Detroit by trading his rights to the Red Wings because he works so well with Pavel Datsyuk.
Yeah.
Hey, Pete, that would be a pretty good trade, wouldn't it?
Get anything.
Yeah. Get anything for him, exactly. if not for just a bar napkin from Scottsdale.
Was that from the Cougar Bar, Pete?
It might be. Yeah.
Well, Pete, obviously you just mentioned Alexander Radulov, and he was at his maybe some of his best as far as players not in the NHL. He's certainly one of the premier players to watch in this tournament. I know Nashville Predators fans cringe, and we've heard both Doc Emrick, Ed Olchuk, we've heard all the commentators over there as they're working the Russian games. They've all made a point to say Alex Radulov, without saying exactly, is a total flake, and that's the reason he's no longer a Nashville Predator, and that's the reason he's no longer in the NHL. So enough wasting time on Alex Radulov, because no one in this market...
Dave Strader said as much this morning, too.
I loved it. The teams they've sent over there have been really, really good, and I just wanted to give them credit real quick, and you as a play-by-play guy could also throw a comment on this. To go to a short tournament like this in a foreign country and learn some of these teams that have no players that you've ever heard of before, guys like Strader and Doc, they've done such a good job over there of not...
Kenny Albert.
Yeah. Oh, Kenny Albert. How could I leave him out? Kenny's one of my favorites. Probably because Kenny's been on the 2 a.m. games for the most part the last few days. But you mentioned Radulov. You mentioned Russia. Team USA and Russia, Saturday morning. It was now being called the... Shafe, what do we call it again?
The most meaningful, meaningless game in Olympic hockey history.
Absolutely. Pete, that thing had us absolutely on the edge of our seat, and here's a quick sound from it.
Oshie and Bobrovsky duel again. Scores! Team USA wins!
I actually just got a little bit of chills because the performance I saw Saturday morning as a lifetime hockey fan. Now, this was nation versus nation in an Olympic tournament. However, Pete, it came down to two sets of one-on-one matchups. It was essentially Datsyuk versus Quick, and it was also Oshie versus Bobrovsky, and the United States was able to come out on top in both of those. I love the atmosphere around it. I love the way it played out. I love the moment, and I'd love to hear your comments on what I think is probably the most significant win in United States hockey history, probably, in many, many years.
Well, let's put it this way. To get ready for that game, what did I do on Friday? I popped in the DVD of the movie Miracle.
Yeah.
And my wife was wondering if I was getting myself a little bit too revved up, particularly in light of my more recent medical condition. But she was upstairs with some of her guests who she had over for dinner, and I was dismissed downstairs to the cave. So I go down to the cave and watch that, and then I'm up at 6 o'clock Saturday morning, getting the coffee going and everything, and getting ready for the 6:30 face-off. And all I can say is, guys, that game, after that sort of personal build-up I had, did not disappoint.
Yeah.
It did not disappoint at all. And I know we'll probably get into the goal cage was off its pegs, and that's how that third goal, the go-ahead goal that the Russians would have had, was disallowed. And Putin, I know, is going about, geez, the officials from the NHL and all that. Well, Vladimir, you know, of course, that the replay official was Russian.
Yes.
So let's get back to that.
And that person may be dead now. We're not sure. They have to check the sea, Black Sea.
You mean black bagged in the Black Sea?
Yeah, I do believe that they gave him to Stalin's relatives, and we'll see what happens after that. But in any case, that is the way the rule is written. And that's the way it was enforced. So, that shootout, guys, I know we're going to have all these questions of the NHL's general managers and so on, but why not change the NHL rule, too, to reflect the international? After you've gone through your round of three, if you like, what do we always say? Rinse, wash, repeat. That didn't bother me one iota. That, I think, in fact, even added to the drama.
Two questions regarding that shootout. Number one, even though he doesn't have a great shootout percentage, perhaps the best pure goal scorer in the world in Alexander Ovechkin not being a part of any of those extra opportunities, and two, I'm going to say this, and you don't have to use this term, the ballsy decision by Dan Bylsma to go with TJ Oshie for all of those extra shots. Your thoughts on both Ovechkin's omission and Oshie being the guy that they rode the whole way to the victory?
Well, first, I thought you were going to ask me about another omission, Patrick Kane.
Yeah.
I thought, as much as the commentators were mentioning, he has to be in that first round. I thought, no way. He can have very little confidence right now because he missed that overtime breakaway.
That's right.
I don't think I'd swim in that situation. As for Ovechkin, guys, let's think back to 1998. I know you were probably still wearing your lederhosen from kindergarten then, but in those Olympics at Nagano, there was a guy not used to the shootout for Canada against the Czechs. His name was Gretzky. Mm-hmm. I think he was somewhat accomplished as a scorer, too.
Mm-hmm.
So what has happened in the past, coaches, for the most part, like to go with hot hands. And I think that's why Ovechkin was not included in all of that. Now, the other part of your second question there, as far as Dan Bylsma going to TJ Oshie time and time and time again throughout that process, I saw maybe one of the better things on Twitter, because I told you I watched the movie Miracle on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you all recall what happened early in that Team USA's tenure. They were touring Europe, and they were in Finland, and they just tied the Finns at three, and Herb skated them and skated them and skated them some more.
The bag skate.
Beyond,
yep.
Yes, even beyond the time where they turned the lights off. I'm sorry, it was in Norway. Between the time they turned the lights off at the rink. Well, what was the one thing he said in that movie all the time when there was time to do another?
Again!
Another version of Herpes?
Yeah. Again!
So that's what they put up on this one Twitter feed Saturday morning. This is Herb Brooks via Dan Bylsma today speaking to TJ Oshie. Again. Again. Again.
Yeah.
Until, as Herb always did it, until you get it right. TJ Oshie got it right far more than he did.
Hey, Pete, we got you on here for just a couple of more minutes, and thank you so much for joining us here on the Predneck Nation Olympic Hockey Special. Charlie Saunier, Jonathan Schaefer, I tried to combine us, into one mega broadcaster who never sleeps and only eats turkey sandwiches,
That's
apparently.
Right. Yeah.
So we talked about what has happened coming up to this point, Pete. Now, starting tonight and 2 a.m. Central Time for Sweden versus Slovenia, which I accidentally wrote Slovakia earlier. How could I make such an error in writing notes? Well, because I was writing.
How much did that happen on the air last week?
I think that's where it all started with me making that mistake. So the quarterfinals get underway starting at 2 a.m. Central Time, and the times are 2 a.m., 6:30, and two games at 11 now. Obviously, there's a bone to pick with those double games being at 11 because a lot of people want to watch both of them. But let's start with Sweden versus Slovenia, Finland versus Russia. Obviously, I'm taking Sweden over Slovenia. Slovenia's in their first Olympics. It's mission impossible just to get to this point, but hey, at this, maybe don't count them out. I thought Sweden, as the number one overall seed, had a good chance to get to the gold medal game this year. The bracket kind of shapes up for them. So if you don't mind, before we get into the two big games at 11 a.m., would you break down Sweden versus Slovenia and Finland versus Russia with your thoughts?
Well, I think that might be a I know I heard from P.J. Stock this afternoon. He thought that of the teams that would be considered chalk to advance in the next round, he was actually concerned with Sweden more than anybody else because he thinks they overly rely on their goaltender, and that's quite possible, but they do have a great defense corps. They're just missing the guys they should have, like Henrik Zetterberg, like Johan Franzen, like Henrik Sedin. If you're missing Henrik Sedin, you're missing Daniel Sedin. effectively, that's the case. So they don't have that much firepower, but neither then does Slovenia. They have Andrej Kopitar and a former Red Wing on Mursak on the club. And those are the guys that have stood out the most, and Kopitar is an absolute world-class hockey player, and I enjoy watching him immensely. And he's managed to survive this far in the Olympics playing for his father, the coach. And that's always an interesting little sub-drama, subplot to it all. But I'm going to go with the chalk here and take Sweden. And let's all just be mindful of what P.J. Stock was saying earlier today on Hockey Night in Canada Radio, concerned that maybe Sweden doesn't have enough firepower with all those guys sidelined by injury.
And, Pete, then we have two other elimination games in the quarterfinals, and these two teams expected to do big things. Canada will take on Latvia. Unfortunately, both of these games at 11 a.m. Central Time live on television. And USA will take on the Czech Republic. So Marty Erat gets a chance to go up against Team USA one more time. Jonathan Quick going to make the start for Team USA. Dan Bylsma announced that a little bit earlier today. What do you expect, and what's your breakdown for these other two quarterfinal games?
I expect that that game, the U.S.-Czech game, will be difficult early, unless we see what we saw the other day, where they get two goals in the first 4 minutes and 30 seconds or so from Phil Kessel. There's another story, right? Phil and Amanda Kessel leading the Olympics in goal scoring, coming into the round of play today. But I think the U.S. will prevail. Latvia, I know Ted Nolan very well. They will work very, very hard. And I know Canadians are all worried that it seems they can't find anybody who can complement Sidney Crosby on a forward line. Well, keep Kevin Kunitz in there. Those two have worked very well on their time together in Pittsburgh. And just as, let me see, Jim Dalsilly's lawyer said this, didn't he? Just chill and get ready for the next round. Yeah, it was Richard Rodier, as I remember.
Rodier, yes.
And don't worry,
back
Pete,
in the summer of 2007.
I could have backed you up on that one. No one will ever forget a Rodier. That's where
right.
Don't forget, that's where the phrase came about. Hey, don't be a Rodier.
That's right.
And I can say that because I'm a Saunier.
There you go. There you go. But, you know, it's not my first Rodier.
Pete, they gave you the good pills while you were...
That's right. Can you share that with the rest of the class?
I mean, I got some good narcotics when I broke my back and went to Centennial, but it sounds like they've got you on the happy stuff.
Pretty much, yeah.
Pretty much.
What they did was they gave me a tank of laughing gas for time-release foul, and I just sort of drive around town and giggling.
So, in other words, you're all set to watch four more hockey games starting at 2 a.m. Central Time. Is that what you're telling me?
I may skip the 2 a.m. face-off and leave that to Kenny and be ready with the TVR representation.
I've known Kenny a long time. I think he can handle one game by himself.
Oh, I think that he can. I think that he can. Hey, you know the secret of Kenny Albert, right? And it's big here in Nashville hockey.
No.
Kenny was the roommate of one Barry Trotz with the Baltimore Skipjacks.
Unbelievable. Pete, you're just showing off now.
Yeah. See, you're medicated and showing off, and that's even worse.
Next thing you're going to do is say we need to get back to the days of Ray LeBlanc holding the glove hand high instead of low.
There you go.
Before we let you go, because I know you've got a lot of stuff to do and you need to be getting a little bit of rest still to get ready for the Preds as they get back on the ice to start practicing this Wednesday, back in action, just a few days after that. If the chalk holds up, we are looking at a projected semifinals that could be absolutely an incredible Final Four. I'm just going to throw these two matchups out there, and I'd love to get your projected future thoughts. Obviously, we have a day of eliminations to go, but if the chalk holds up, you're looking at potentially Sweden versus Russia in one semifinal, USA versus Canada in the other semifinal. This could be a hell of a Final Four.
Could be. And you know something? I think that's where Russia implodes.
Yeah.
That's where I think they would implode. And in many ways, I was surprised to see them perform as well as they did in this last game. So that's where I think the good ride and the little ride that they will then have at the Gulag comes off.
And Pete, just one final